Grace and mercy and peace to each of you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight, the sermon is called Belonging to God, and it's based on the Hebrews reading that we read just before. Thanks, Adam. If we just go... So before we begin, let's pray for God to open up our hearts and minds and for us to be able to listen to his word so that it can work in our lives. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Son and for the ways in which he makes us holy. We pray that your word would do its work in our lives of producing faith and of drawing us close to you through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, any of you who know Will and Stacey will know that they are curious kind of questioning people. And that's a good thing, I think. And in particular, as I have interacted with Will over the last year and a half or so, I think that Will has been struggling with two big questions, two of the biggest questions that it's possible to ask. Will, I might be paraphrasing you here, so tell me if I'm getting it wrong. Those questions are, does God exist? And can God be known? Not just is he out there, but can we actually interact with him? Can we know what he is like? Can God communicate with us and draw us close to himself? Now, both Will and Stacey have found that the answer to these two questions is an absolute and resounding yes. God can be known. God does exist. And he's not some kind of remote God somewhere out there watching over all the galaxies, but he actually is close enough to us to be able to know personally. He comes to our level. And this is exactly what the writer of the book of Hebrews says in those magnificent opening words at the beginning of the first chapter. Hebrews 1:1-4. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. God not only exists, but God comes to us, enters into our world, and makes himself known through the person of Jesus. And not only does he make himself known, but he draws us to himself. It says in verse 3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. In other words, if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. If you want to know what God is like, turn your eyes to Jesus. He sustains all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. God not only makes himself known, but he draws us to himself through Jesus, the one who purifies us from our sins, the one whose death makes us right with God, and whose resurrection draws us into a new life, a life that is God's life. And so today, I want to say, Will and Stacey, we celebrate that you've discovered the truth of the answers to these questions. We not only celebrate, but we say, welcome to the family. This is a, have a look around you, turn around right now and have a look. This is a family of people who know the things that you know to be true, who know that God exists and that we can know him through Jesus and that we belong to him because of what Jesus has done. There's a remarkable sentence in this passage from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5 to 12. Let me read that out to you. This is talking about Jesus from verse 11. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. Now, actually, you know I like to reference the Greek. You know, it's a little bit of a habit that I have. It's probably a bad thing to do. But what the Greek says is both the one who makes people holy and those who are being made holy. It's a present continuous sense. It's something that is ongoing and keeps on happening in your life and my life and each of our lives. And it means that we're not necessarily there yet. We haven't reached the perfection that God has planned for us. And yet Jesus is continuing to make us his holy people. He's continuing the work of sanctification, of making us into the people that God calls us to be. Stacy, today, you join the ranks. You are welcomed into the ranks of those who are being made holy. I know it's been happening for a while. Today we celebrate that. Will, today, we celebrate with you that you are a person who is being made holy. Let's have a quick look at what this really means for us. I remember as I went through seminary something that really stuck with me, and that is that God just doesn't work. He doesn't just kind of wave a magic wand over us and go, abracadabra, now you're holy. God makes us holy through the holy things. God makes us holy by the holy word of God. He uses this word to work in our lives to draw us to himself. God makes us holy by holy baptism, where the water washes away our sins, where we die with Christ and are raised up to a new life, clean and pure in God's sight. God makes us holy by Holy Communion, this sacred meal that we share that is a foretaste of the feast to come, when we get to join with God and the angels and everybody else who's gone before us as we receive the sanctifying body and blood of Christ. And God makes us holy by the indwelling Holy Spirit. And that's what confirmation is about. It's a sign and a symbol that God has and is and will continue to place his Holy Spirit in your heart so that you can live as his holy people. And all of these things together are actually the things that Jesus is doing for us. Jesus is the one who makes us holy. He does it through his word, through baptism, through communion, through the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Will, Stacey, you've been getting into this word recently. It's not just words on a page, but you know that it's actually living and powerful. It's active. It does something in your life. And that's fantastic. And all of us as God's people, if we want to get to know God better, this is the place to do it. This holy word, this performative word, this word that acts and changes us. Baptism tonight, the splash of water, the washing away of sins, the welcome into God's family, the dying and rising with Christ. It's no wonder that we are so excited. Stacey is excited tonight. And we are excited that we can be a part of this and witness this with her. Communion. Both of you have been receiving this wonderful gift for a while now. And can I, Will, say something kind of slightly embarrassing perhaps? It was on Easter Day this year, the day that we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, that Will was at Easter camp and we were at Pastor Brett's church at Greensboro for the morning worship, and Will came up to receive communion. And I went, yes, that's it. God is at work here. God is giving his grace. He knows God is real. That was such a great moment for me, by the way, Will. Very joyful. God is making us holy by the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit. None of us can do this stuff on our own, but God gives to us a part of himself to come and dwell within us, to live in our hearts, to transform us from the inside out. All of us who who hear the word of God, all of us who are baptized, all of us who receive Holy Communion, God gives the gift of his Holy Spirit. I remember once I was accosted on the street somewhere by, you know, those kind of crazy-ish fringe Christians, and they said, "Do you have the Holy Spirit?" And I said, "Yes." They said, "How do you know?" And I said, "Because I've been baptized and because I believe that Jesus is the one who saves us." And they kind of wandered off after that. I don't think they wanted to get into an argument with me about that one. Whoops. We've gone too far. Sorry. Back. As I said before, all of these things are the ways that Jesus works in our life. He makes us holy through the touch of the holy things. And so tonight we say welcome to the family. And I want to just give you an illustration of what that really means. The first pastoral act that I did as a pastor of the Lutheran Church of Australia after I had been ordained was to marry my brother. Now, that sounds weird. To perform the wedding ceremony for my brother and Trish, the woman who was to become his wife. And this is that happening in the Geelong Lutheran Church. And here's us signing the register. Now, here's the thing. That day, I gained a sister. Trish is now a sister-in-law to me, but she might as well be my sister because when we get together, it doesn't matter if my brother's not around. I do care for him, but I love Trish, and I love all of my sisters-in-law as if they are my very own sisters. And in fact, they have become an important part of the family. Listen again to these stunning words of Jesus from verse 11 and 12 of Hebrews chapter 2. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, "I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises." People of God, you have a brother. You have a brother who's not ashamed to call you his brother. Will and Stacy, Jesus today is not ashamed to call you his brother and sister. I don't know about you, but that gives me great pause for thought. It's an awesome, humbling thought. Jesus knows me. He knows my heart. He knows the stuff that I do that's against the will of God and damaging to myself and others. He knows my depths better than I know them. And yet, he's still not ashamed before the Heavenly Father to say, "This is my bro. He belongs in the family. I'm not ashamed of him. Why should I be? I've already taken all his sins away. Here he is, Father. This is my bro." And it's pretty hard to see here on this photo, but this is the signing of the wedding certificate at John and Trisha's wedding. And everyone is smiling. We're all having a great time. And my brother is doing this. And I think that he's going, "This is my bro. Wasn't he good?" I'm willing to be corrected on that. Johnny, if you're listening to me on podcast. But this is what Jesus does for us. He's not ashamed of us. It's not like, "Oh my God, I can't believe." No. Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters. He's standing there in the presence of the Father going, "You know what? Will, this is my bro. Stacy, this is my sister." How awesome, how humbling, what incredibly good news that is for all of us. So, both the one who makes people holy and those who are being made holy, that's us, are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. Will, Stacy, welcome to the family. It's a great celebration that we're having here in the presence of Jesus, who calls us brother and sister. Amen. And peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, our brother. Amen.